Some of you may already be aware that I've just completed 2 years of training to be a spa. Nothing to do with massages and weekends away. It stands for Southwark Pastoral Auxiliary, which doesn't help much either, does it? Which is why Sandy suggested that I'm called a pastoral minister. And in the training, as a model for our own ministry, we considered how God does pastoral care. And that's really something I wanted to share with you this evening. We're going to reflect on three aspects of God's character. And if I've learned anything from Sandy over 14 years, it's good to have a structure, and if you can boil it down to 3 points, all the better. And in each section, I'm going to pose a question for you to mull over, and I'll leave you a minute or two. Maybe you just want to mull it over privately. Maybe you want to discuss it with someone who's sitting near you. Either way is fine, only if you feel comfortable. So we're going to look at a caring God, a knowing God, and a just God. And hopefully you'll see why I had 3 readings rather than the usual 2. So our God is a caring God. He provides for us. God provides by creating a world for us to live in, to look after. And he doesn't just give us the bare essentials. He gives us the very best. We hear God saw all that he had made and it was very good. He provides for Adam and Eve when they've fallen short. He provides clothes for them. I think that's really touching. When the Israelites couldn't find food in the desert, God provided for them with manna and quail faithfully day by day. Jesus fed 5,000 and 4,000. So we know that there's an abundance in God's provision for us. So he provides for us, but he encourages and he supports us. When Moses lacked the courage to speak, God provided support through Aaron. When Joshua needed encouragement, as we probably all do, God said, "Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." The Holy Spirit is with us, isn't he? He's our encourager, our comforter, our counselor. So a caring God provides for us, encourages us, and he protects us, rescues us. We know that God delivered his people from danger, often in unlikely circumstances. So Moses was rescued by Pharaoh's daughter. The Israelites were delivered from slavery in Egypt. David was protected from Saul's jealous anger and then said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge." So we know that God is a caring God who provides for us, encourages us, and protects us. And I'd like you to think about a time when you've really experienced God's caring nature, or maybe the care of a fellow Christian. How's that affected your faith in God? So just mull over that for a minute or two. When have you experienced God's caring nature or the care of a fellow Christian? And how's that affected your faith? So we have a caring God, but we also have a knowing God. God knows the very essence of each one of us because he made us. We've got verses in the Bible like, "Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered." And, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Those are incredibly powerful things, aren't they? And they really speak of a really intimate relationship between Creator God and each one of us. And Kim read from Psalm 139. So remember some of the phrases in that. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. And I think we know when we know someone really well, we know what they're about to say, don't we? God knows the thoughts in our hearts. He doesn't just know us, he knows everything. If you want a wonderful but not exhaustive list of everything that God knows, go to Job chapter 38, because that's when he says to Job, right, sit and listen to this, pay attention. And then he asks questions. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Who marked off its dimensions? Do you know the law of the heavens? Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Does the hawk take flight by your wisdom? God's knowledge is infinite, isn't it? He knows all things. So he knows us, he knows everything else. But knowledge on its own isn't sufficient, is it? You can have knowledge, but actually it's how it's used. It's about wisdom. Well, we know that God is discerning and wise. And we're told about the wisdom. What are we told about the wisdom that comes from heaven? We're told that, first of all, it's pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. God's knowledge isn't a power struggle of one-upmanship. It's about gracious love and care for us. So now I'd like to just get you to think about a time when you've been really aware of God, or maybe a close friend or family member, really understanding where you're coming from, really knowing what you needed at that particular moment, and the way that they might have used that knowledge lovingly. How does that change the way you see your relationship with that person? When they use a deep knowledge about you to care for you, to support you. So a caring God, a knowing God, and a just God. A just God whose justice is gracious and merciful. God cares deeply for us, and he knows all things. So he's going to be a very wise and merciful judge, isn't he? He's not some distant judge in the Inns of Court, wherever judges hang out, who you can't talk to. He identifies with us and walks with us. He came to live among us. As we read in Hebrews, we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses. Jesus left his home in heaven and came to live with us. So God's justice, I think if we're fearful that God's justice is all about punishment, then we should think again, because God's justice is about setting things right. In his book, Surprised by Hope, Tom Wright talks about his own use of the word justice as a shorthand for the intention of God to set the whole world right. It's not just patching things up, it's making all things new. And this isn't something that we have to sit and wait for until Jesus returns, but rather it's something that we should be part of now. I think one of the most challenging aspects of the training in pastoral care was thinking about standing beside the marginalized, the suffering, the persecuted, not trying to do things from a distance. And that's really part of building God's kingdom now. So maybe we could think about, what does God's justice look like to us? How can we be comforted and challenged by that? What does God's justice look like? Well, he is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just, we heard in that reading. We have a God who cares for us, who knows us, who's gracious and merciful in his dealings with us. And we can take great comfort from that, can't we? And we can offer that comfort to other people, which I suppose is what pastoral care is about. And that comfort gives us hope, a sure and certain hope, because God's kingdom isn't a far-off dream, it's a very present reality that we're part of, and we're called to build his kingdom now in a response to his love for us. As we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, well, we can be a part of that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray thy kingdom come, but sometimes it seems that we're expecting you to do all the work. I do pray that you would so fill us with knowledge of how much you love us, how much you know us, and how merciful you are, that we are strengthened to make your kingdom come. Amen.